Thanks, everyone. Welcome to the July meeting. Before we get started, I want to welcome Councillor Deb White, who's been just recently reappointed as a councillor of Meander Valley. So congratulations, Deb. Welcome back to Meander Valley. And for those who are wondering why the Mayor and Deputy Mayor are on Zoom, I was ill last night, went off in a COVID test today, so I'm sitting at home as much as I would like to be there. And the Deputy Mayor's just come in from the mainland, so he's at home as well. So with those comments, I'll make a start. Obviously, the meeting conduct is in the front page of the agenda, security protocols. So evacuation details and information are located on the wall to the right of the general manager. In the unlikelihood of an emergency evacuation, alarm will sound and evacuation wardens will assist with the evacuation. When directed, everyone will be required to exit in an orderly fashion through the front doors and go directly to the evacuation point, which is in the car park at the side of the town. Can everyone hear me okay? Okay, thank you for that. So you've got a table of contents, which is there, presence and the apologies, the in attendance, and the announcement. Councillor King, did you wish to read that out with your personal connection?
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to take a moment to acknowledge the recent passing of Mr. Terry Rolls. A prominent local and self-made horse trainer, Terry was an inductee at the Tasmanian Racing Hall of Fame and a major supporter of the Deloraine Kangaroos Football Club. Terry's contributions to the community were significant and he'll be greatly missed by many. Our thoughts are with his wife Roseanne and daughters Erin and Sophie, and in his memory, Council has made a formal donation to fight MND.
Thanks, Councillor King. Moving on to the confirmation of the minutes, would somebody like to move that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of Council held on Tuesday the 8th of June be received and confirmed? You will have to be noisy or put your hands up, people, so that I can see from here. Councillor Knott.
What was the question, Mayor? Pardon?
To move the minutes of the ordinary meeting, Councillor.
Yes, I'll move it.
Thank you. A sec. Thank you, Councillor Sheriff. All those in favour, please raise your hands and say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. The Council workshops held since the last meeting are there. Announcements by the Mayor. Announcements by councillors. Councillor Knott, has any other councillors got any announcements? No. Thank you. Any declarations of interest? Councillor King?
Yes, Gov4. Please.
Right. Paperwork has been passed on, I imagine.
It has.
Thank you. Next item is tabling and actions of petitions.
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Very good. Moving on, public question time. Public question time normally goes for 30 minutes, and I have a list of people. Glad I haven't got any more electronic devices in front of me, I tell you. So those that come up and ask a question of council, you have 3 minutes. I'll ask you to state your name and your address and ask a council. So first one is Di Robertson.
Mr. Mayor, I don't think Di Robinson's present to ask a question.
Oh, okay. We'll move on then to Tori Taylor.
Mr. Mayor, Di Robinson's unavailable today.
Mr. Mayor, I think the list that you've got is people attending, expected registering attendance rather than asking questions.
You're dead right. That shows that I should look at these things, doesn't it? So, GM, have you got a list of people to ask questions or not?
Anne-Marie Loder.
Okay, Anne-Marie.
I'm Anne-Marie Loder at 131 King Street, Westbury. Does the General Manager acknowledge that I, Anne-Marie Loder, agreed to meet with him in advance of the agenda being prepared, but only if the Council would agree to that meeting being recorded, and then it was refused?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the meeting wasn't refused. The requirement to consent to the recording of the meeting was. We have given an undertaking that we continue to be interested in meeting, and in fact have met with other petitioners.
And my second question is, hundreds of people have signed the petition based on the very broad heading at the top of the petition, capturing the broader issue of the prison being located in the Meander Valley itself. This does not need further explanation or any interpretation. Since lodging the petition, I, Mrs. Loder, has confirmed that the scope of the meeting should be based on the wording of the petition itself. In these circumstances, why would the General Manager consider it appropriate to recommend a narrowing of the scope of the meeting so as to limit the subject matter of the meeting to the Westbury Reserve?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the recommendation that I made was based on the ambiguity of the petition requirement, which is we, the undersigned, call upon Meander Valley Council to hold a public meeting about the Northern Regional Prison proposal, not proposals. And that is then correlated to your letter.
That's just plain semantics.
If I could answer the question, please. That correlates with your 4th of June 21 covering letter to the petition. And I'll read it from that letter. I enclose.
1,000 people want a meeting just
if
about
I can,
the petition.
If I can answer the question, please.
To me, yours, General Manager.
I enclose a petition calling on the Council to hold a public meeting in relation to the proposed location of the Northern Regional Prison at the new site, also on Birralee Road, Westbury. So the recommendation that I've made is informed by the ambiguity within the petition itself, calling for a meeting on proposal, not proposals, and your own words in your covering letter, which I've just read.
The covering letter is irrelevant. 1,000 people want a meeting about the prison in the Meander Valley. That's what 1,000 people in this municipality have signed to. You're just being manipulative. Manipulative.
Yeah.
Right. Thanks, Amory. Any other questions up the back?
Linda Poulton, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Linda Poulton. Is this on? 32 William Street, Westbury. Just based on what you've said just then about narrowing the meeting to the reserve, you've now been told by Anne-Marie, you've got everybody here who wants this meeting to be much broader than the way you have chosen to interpret it. You failed to read out the rest of the letter, which said, we want a meeting to discuss the proposal wherever it might be in the municipality. That's what the remainder of the letter said. So you're hearing this from us now. Who have you heard from otherwise? Have you consulted Crouch? What has Crouch said about how they would like the meeting to be held, John? What type of meeting do they want?
Through you, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, John.
Just to quote the letter for clarity of the record, the letter reads, as stated repeatedly in previous correspondence, we believe it to be a statutory responsibility of the Council to consult with its community about the proposed location of the Northern Regional Prison in Meander Valley Municipal Area, wherever the location might be. That is a statement of belief, as opposed to a request. The second element of clarification, and I'd ask the public gallery to respect the commitment around quiet, please. The second element to your question,
What did Crouch say about the type of meeting they want?
You've already asked the question. Thanks, Linda. You've already asked the question. It will be replied.
Can somebody else ask that question, please?
So, Mr. Mayor.
Hello. Do not. Thank you. Have you finished your questions, Linda? Thank you.
I'm happy to answer it, Mr. Mayor, if you want.
Yes, please.
Okay. Crouch, in the meeting, indicated that they were grateful for the consultation around what the meeting ought to achieve and what it should focus on. And it was a meeting offered in the same spirit as we did for Anne-Marie. So that's point one. Point two, Aaron, as representative of Crouch, sent me an email last night indicating that they believe that a broader scope for the meeting was appropriate. Now, just as a point of clarification, it's not my decision as the general manager in any of this. There are a series of recommendations. It remains the role of the councillors to determine the scope of the meeting.
Thank you. Anyone else?
RBG.
Harvey G, Exton House, Exton, 7303. Council's own recordings of its meetings are often inaudible and are not released on a timely basis. Because many people are not able to access the meeting room, would you consent to the meeting being recorded for those who cannot get in? If not, why not?
Jim?
Sorry, can you repeat the question, please?
Council's own recordings of its meetings are often inaudible and are not released on a timely basis. Because many people are not able to access the meeting room, would you consent to the meeting being recorded for those who cannot get in? If not, why not?
Mr. Mayor, that's a matter for you to answer as the chair in terms of the meeting recording protocol. Just as a point of clarification, though, do you mean the council meeting or another meeting? So these council meetings are, in fact, recorded. The microphone and the recording is on at the moment and has been under the provisions of COVID.
So they are, Harvey. They've been recorded now as we speak, and we'll continue to do that as we've done for the last quite a few meetings. Councillor Sinfield, you got a hand up?
Well, yeah, I just wondered if by point of clarification, are they actually asking that they may record it separate to the official recording that we're making. Is that, in fact, what the question is hoping to achieve?
Is that the question, Harvey, that you're asking?
Right, yes, it's clear to all concerned, and the gallery and anybody else who wants to take interest in these matters. I've got another question.
I won't take any more questions on that subject, Harvey, because that's operational and council matter. Thank you.
You need, sorry,
Sharon. Hang on. Thanks, Sharon. You've made your point. Please sit down, Sharon. Righto. Thanks for that, Sharon.
Mr. Mayor, Peter Wildman.
Peter Wildman, 13A Lyle Street, Westbury. It's all fun, isn't it, Mayor? I've recently written to the General Manager in regards to the bias, the strong liberal bias in this room.
Peter, could you just put the microphone a little bit closer, please? I'm having trouble hearing you.
Well, it's all fun. I've recently written to the General Manager concern about the bias, the liberal bias in this room, and he says that he's confident that the councillors are able to rise above their political views. So my question is, does the council have written legal advice on the bias issue, which it continually relies on to gag the councillors? Notice again today the councillors are not allowed to answer questions. Is that on legal advice?
Through you, GM.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, I'd ask that you produce the statement where I've said about specific Liberal Party matters. I do not recall any statement to that effect, point one. Okay, if you could do that, I'll have a look at my emails to you. But I have not made any statement in my recollection that relates to Liberal Party bias. And in answer to your question, I see no reason to seek legal advice on that bias because I've not seen any bias applied in the meetings, and the meeting conventions and procedures require any bias on a particular matter to be declared. And you've seen that demonstrated today with Councillor King.
So the councillors are free to answer questions in here, are they?
The councillors are free answer questions. Sorry, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, no, the councillors are free to answer questions, Peter, as long as the question is directed through me and the councillors are prepared to answer it. It is their choice.
So we can be confident that there's no legal reason why we can't talk to the councillors and get answers from the councillors. That's right.
Not that I'm aware of. Any other questions from the gallery?
Julie G, Mr. Mayor.
347 Leander Valley Road. Why do the council play games with its community by refusing to make any genuine attempt to hold a meeting to consult and involve us on the prison proposal and general in general? So why do they refuse to have this meeting?
We haven't refused to have this meeting. The previous petition that came forward, Julia, was not compliant, so we didn't hold that one. So this petition is compliant, and as you can see in our agenda today, we'll be debating the meeting, public meeting going forward, and I think there is a date set for it.
I'm hoping for a good outcome with this. What our community are asking for.
Thanks, Julie.
We get who pays you, the ratepayers. So listen to your community.
Thanks, Julie. You've made your point. Thank you. Any other questions? Take that as no. Very good. Moving on. Public questions taken on notice. There are nil. Public questions with notice. There is one that is references to some councillors. Councillors have, if they wish, to the chance to respond to the question that was asked. Going around the room, I'll go to Councillor Knott. You're closest if you wish to respond. Thanks, Councillor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. To Mr. Nicholson, in relation to acting as a planning authority, I take the matter in relation to voting on developments very seriously. In most cases, I try and visit the site if possible. I talk to the planners and I also talk to representatives. I then listen to debate, discussion, and in order to make up my mind as to which way I will vote. There are times when it is up to interpretation in relation to the issues or comments made by the planners, and listening to representations and then making a decision around the table. The key point in my view is that there may be, when there's community interest, it may result, or it may be a discretion or in interpretation, and the representatives always have that opportunity to take it to the tribunal. In some cases, as we found, for instance, with Wadley's Road, Mr. Heathcote, there was, it was like a test case. I look at it very carefully, treasure the democratic right to make an opinion and vote that way. I'm not against all development, but I want sensible development. And I really want, and I try and make myself aware, and I'm always available. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Knott. Councillor Sinfield, if you wish.
Yep, thank you. Well, I'd concur with most of what Councillor Knott has already said. My view is the right to vote as a member of a planning authority comes implicit within it the power to say yes or no. It would be an absurdity if my vote were non-effective in the sense that I was required to agree with the recommendation of a planner. And in many instances, the discretion we're exercising revolves around qualitative assessments. And another word for qualitative is subjective. It is in the eye of the beholder, in taking all into account, we're required to receive the advice of our expert planners. What we then do with it is up to us. And that is what that full exercise of that vote entails. And an example of that today is we've received, since the recommendation came out, we've received an additional appendix in relation to the one planning matter before us. And that may well have changed the recommendation. In this case, it didn't, but it may well have done. And that was brought to the attention of the planner doing the assessment by one of the councillors, and a subsequent document produced. The upshot is the recommendation has remained the same, and I'm sure more will be said on that. But as I say, at the end of the day, we are charged with dealing with planning matters. There are lots of extraneous things that the community might hold a view on in relation to a particular planning matter, some of which we can't take into account. We are assessing it against the scheme, but as I say, at the end of the day, in terms of discretion, we have the full power to exercise either a yes or no vote. And that's what I attempt to do to the best of my ability. And I think that in a closing comment, it may be useful, given the question has come in from this particular person, that when in one of our near future newsletters that council issues, we might be able to enclose an article addressing our role as a planning authority and the rights and powers, etc., without getting bogged down in detail. It might be a useful exercise to provide some information to the community in general on what we do as a planning authority.
Thanks, Councillor Sinfield. Councillor Temple, do you wish to respond?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There's not a lot I can add to the previous two speakers who, I think, enunciated the issues very well. The only thing I could add is I noted with interest the table on page 11 of the agenda, and it's interesting to see that we've all been able to vote for the recommendation more than 50% of the time.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other councillors want to have a say on this one? If not, we'll move on to the next agenda item. Thank you. Oh, sorry, Steph. Oh, yeah, I can't see his hand, so you need to yell out.
Yeah, I'm hiding over here in the corner, Wayne.
Okay, Andy.
I think as councillors we need to be mindful that, you know, our planners do a good job within the council, and we've got to be mindful of, you know, if we go against the planners, that this could potentially go to the tribunal and get overturned, which costs the ratepayers money, which I don't want to spend the ratepayers money when we don't have to. So we just need to be mindful of that, I think, at the same time. But it is good that we do have the choice to pick through things and make sure that all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted. But at the same time, we need to be mindful of taxpayers' money.
Thanks, Councillor. Yeah, Councillor Cameron.
So I just really just to back up what Andy says, but I, you know, I do really respect the role that our planners on council play, and I do take the role as a planning authority very seriously. It's sometimes really hard to make a decision, but it is a very serious role, and we only make those decisions based on the information we have in front of us at the time. But like Andy says, the ramifications of a no is something that we really have to consider. So thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Kelly, are you still online? I can't. You're still there, I imagine.
I'm here.
No, that's fine. That's good. No worries. Thank you. Okay, moving on. So, Councillor Question Time, you've got a question on notice, taken on notice from Councillor Bower, which was responded to by the GM. Councillors' questions with notice are nil. Councillor questions without notice, and my screen's gone blank, but I imagine Councillor Temple would have his hand up. Oh, sorry. Yep, Councillor Temple.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just my usual question. Have there been any developments regarding the proposed prison since the last council meeting?
General Manager.
A small matter of a petition being tabled, Councillor. Not since the last meeting. We did meet with the project manager for the prison, and they provided an update. And I think I mentioned last meeting or at the workshop, perhaps last meeting, that they're expecting their due diligence to extend in for the rest of the year, and that they're not expecting to lodge a set of applications to council until the new calendar year.
Thanks, Jim. Any other questions, councillors? Councillor Knott?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have two questions, if I can. First of all, to the General Manager. General Manager, in relation to your suggestion at the June meeting, the last meeting, concerning the pedestrian-operated crossing in Westbury Road, the suggestion was to advertise and conduct a council pop-up at the marketplace for community input in relation to that. Any details as to how that's progressing?
No detail yet, Councillor. We haven't organised that.
Second one's to you, Mr. Mayor. Mayor, will you continue to support councillors in their role on the audit panel providing scrutiny and oversight?
Absolutely, Councillor Knott.
Thanks very much, Mayor.
Thank you. No other questions from councillors without notice? Sorry. Go, Jane. Yeah, I'm having some technical difficulties on my end, so bear with me.
Thank you. I refer to the landline episode aired on the 27th of June 2021, and in particular the segment on cool fire burning in the World Heritage Gondwana Rainforest. Lamington Park Ranger Will Buck said he felt helpless watching 2,500 hectares of park burn last year. Now the area is infested with weeds that have not previously inhabited the area and now requiring controlling as they are blocking the succession and rehabilitation of the forest. Will says, before European settlement, Indigenous people used this place as a hunting and camping ground. He's now adopting their traditional burning practices to maintain and protect it. Vineyard owners in the vicinity, Tony Marie and Cameron Bishop, shared their experience. Cameron wants to see more education for landholders so they can safely conduct hazard reduction burns. Given the opportunity, if farmers were allowed to work through their own fire pattern, there wouldn't have been the fuel in the field that created such a big problem. Macadamia farmers Paul and Robin Lee said the experience was a distressing time. The heat from the fire decimated their crop. In the Binnaburra area, 11 homes were lost. Low-intensity fires to reduce fuel load and regenerate land have been used by Aboriginal people for millennia. Geographer and Associate Professor Michael Sean Fletcher says you can walk on cultural burning straight after the fire. The loss of traditional burning has been profound. There is evidence that the Australian landscape has been changed radically since European settlement. Tasmania, and more specifically Meander Valley, is far from immune to this problem. Given that 38% of the Meander Valley is currently located within the Tasmanian Wilderness and World Heritage Area, equating to 1,258 square kilometres, this issue must not be ignored. Can Council please request representatives from the Tasmanian Fire Service and DePipwe as a major landholder in the municipality to present to Council on current land management practices and work to update Tasmanian fire management practices and planning to avoid further catastrophic fire events and learn from the recent fire events?
Thank you, Councillor King, for that. Right, before we move out of question time...
Don't I get an answer?
Sorry. No, you don't. General Manager?
Yes, we'll undertake to contact the parties concerned.
Thank you.
And present.
My apologies, Councillor. Councillor Simtool.
Yeah, if I may, a late one that I meant to ask. In relation to the tragedy that happened on Saturday on the Bass Highway, could Council again advocate by various methods, communicate to the state government the what I think is an urgent requirement for an upgrade of the highway through our municipality. The areas that are not currently four lanes need desperately to be upgraded to a better standard than they are. You know, it appears to be just an outright tragedy what happened, but if there were lane separation, four-lane highway with relevant measures, then that and a number of other incidents that we're seeing may not have occurred. And we have had discussions with the government previously. We did have an upgrade to the section west of Westbury or west of Birralee Road. It would be great to see further work undertaken. My understanding is we have approximately three times the traffic volume that the Midlands Highway has, which is getting a huge amount of money spent on it. It would be good to see some money spent on extending what are relatively uncomplicated sections of road, certainly between Deloraine and Launceston, to a better standard than they currently are. And so I'd be urging that we take all relevant steps to advocate on in respect of this matter, or these matters.
Happy to take that forward, Councillor Sinfield, and write a letter to the relevant minister to see what response we get back. Thank you. Before we move on, I've just been notified that Sam got such a large public gallery that Emma Hamilton has a question that she would like to ask in question time, and then there's a response from the GM to Mr. Wildman's question. Just make sure the microphone is close to your mouth, Emma, please.
Yep, you can hear me?
I can, but feel yep. free to speak up.
So I submitted two questions without notice to council and to councillors. Question two is relevant in particular to Mr. Wildman's question about councillors being allowed to speak freely. I've said, I also note Section 9 alternative recommendations. Council can approve the recommendation with amendment, noting that legislative requirements do apply in respect to Recommendation 7. In this section, there is no mention of council having a legislative responsibility to disclose the petition as a public document. Will any councillor, based on the evidence attached to this question, move an amendment motion to prohibit the petition from becoming a public document, especially given the behaviours towards anti-prison proponents that have both been reported in the Meander Valley Gazette and also available for public viewing on the Northern Region Prison site information page on Facebook?
Thanks, Emma. General Manager?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the question was directed to the councillors as opposed to myself as the general manager.
Okay, councillors. Councillor Sinfield, you've got your finger on the button.
I guess my comment is, mine's gone blank, sorry. Trying to write a question and think at the same time. In seeing those emails or the first one, my bit of research is the petition becomes an official document. I didn't see anything that stated it as a public document. So I guess in the sense where I'd be coming from is it a case that somebody can through RTI, right to information, apply to see it? I wouldn't necessarily equate that just of itself as in the fact that somebody would table it, you know, the requirement to table the petition under the Act. I wouldn't read that as, I'm not a lawyer, but I wouldn't equate that in and of itself as simply mandating that it's suddenly a public document that all can see. In the limited time that I had available, that's the view I've formed, is that yes, it certainly becomes an official document, and only the petition itself. Anything else attendant, New South Wales, Victoria and Western Australia said in terms of an earlier issue that was raised, said that any attached documents do not form part of the petition. For me, I see the petition as now part of the record, but not necessarily something that you can just, you know, rock up and ask to have a look at. Obviously, people can, when the petition's put out in many institutions, businesses across the municipality, you know, however a petition is getting signed, other people can see other people's names on that same petition, and there are rules about not being able to tamper with or remove other names, etc. But for me, I see it as part of the official record, but at this point, not necessarily part of a public, you know, record that you can just view because you want to view it. But that doesn't mean that the people can't apply, as I say, for a request through formal channels too, sir.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other councillors want to respond? No? Okay. Emma, did you have another question? John, was you putting your hand up for something? John Temple?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd simply say that it's not something I'm expert in, and I'd need to take the question on notice, and I'm prepared to do that.
Thanks, Councillor Temple. Emma, did you have a Councillor Knott? Sorry. Frank's going to ask.
Just a question. Just, I guess, it follows on from the previous two councillors in the sense that if there are differing rules in different states, I think it's what my general broad brush comment would be to be as open and transparent as possible.
Thanks, Councillor. Emmett, one more question.
Yes. Keeping in mind that legislation for state or federal government could be different to the municipal council level of government, if my question is going to be taken on notice, can I get an agreement that it will not be available for public viewing until after next month when an answer has been given? Can that part of the motion be held over and suspended?
General Manager, thank you.
I'm sorry.
Councillor Sherriff?
Sorry, I don't fully understand your question. Can you explain why you want it withheld? I don't understand what you're trying to actually withhold it from.
I already provided evidence in the email that I sent about things that have happened to people in the community because they have had a vocal anti-prison stance, including Mr. Wildman, who has had rat sack poison packets put in his yard where his small dogs play, online bullying and harassment, threatening driving by people with Just Build It stickers, going down the highway when there's people with no prison stickers. I'm quite concerned that if there was someone that wants the prison and they were able to have a list of over 1,000 people's names who don't want the prison, you're giving them a list of people to target. And as council, you should be protecting those people from people who may wish to harm them or even just frighten them and intimidate them with antisocial behaviour. Those names have been handed to you. These people are trusting you to protect them from elements in the community that might harm them. That is why I'm asking you to withhold the names of those people.
Thanks.
And
thanks, Emma.
No, and you are on the page.
Sorry,
you're on the Grace Rock page. You see the vitriol that her page creates.
Thanks, Emma.
How can
thank
you
for that.
You don't
thank
want to protect
you,
those
Emma.
People?
That'll do. Thanks. Emma, you made your point.
Can I respond, Mr. Mayor?
I missed some of that, but if you feel that you need to.
Can I respond, please, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, you can.
I'm sorry, but I didn't understand your question. I can fully relate to what you're saying, and yes, I don't think it should be published. You've got a perfectly fair point. Now, to explain why I'm on that page, I actually asked to join both pages, and I was denied the privilege of joining your page. But I wanted to join. I wanted to join the page that related to the people that are against the prison. So if I'm...
Come on, people. We're entering into debate. Sorry, I have to pull this up. This is not a place for debate. I'm sorry. I think both points have been made.
It's about having information so us as councillors can make the right decision when the time comes. And that's getting a view from both sides, not one side. We've got to act as fairly as we can.
Thanks, Councillor. Emma, point of order. Come on, Emma, please. Thank you. We've come back to it. Appreciate your time. Appreciate your question. Thanks, Councillor Sheriff. We're moving on.
Can you see me, Mayor?
Through you, Mr.
Okay, now that you speak. Sorry, there's somebody else quoted. Sorry, John.
If Deputy Mayor wants to say something, that's fine.
He's already said something. I can't see him until he speaks.
Well, would I be able to say a couple of words?
Yes, okay, very quickly. You've said nothing all day.
Some of these things that Emma's been discussing, I would imagine, would be a Tasmania Police matter, not a councillor matter.
Okay, thank you. Where are we up to? Deputations by member of the public?
No, through you, Mr. Mayor, I just have a clarification.
Yes, clarification, John.
Just in relation to Mr. Wildman's earlier question.
Oh, sorry, yes.
Mr. Wildman, and I part quote his email of 12th of July, 10:33 a.m. The council represents all residents of the Meander Valley, not just members of the Liberal Party, who are overwhelmingly represented on the current cohort of councillors. My response, as a matter of record, was, I appreciate your position. I have faith that the elected representatives will act in accordance with their responsibility to represent all of the community, brackets, and the views of people who may be for, against, or neutral on the prison proposal, close brackets. In doing so, they are very mindful of the roles they play as both councillors representing the community and also, quite distinctly, as councillors acting as a planning authority. Now, that last bit speaks to the question around whether or not councillors are free. Councillors are free. However, when it comes to a planning matter, they need to be mindful of not apprehending a bias that would arguably remove them from a planning determination.
Thanks.
As a matter of record, that email that I just read was 12th of July,
11:36 a.m. Mr. Wildman, sit down, please. Please sit down, Mr. Wildman. Mr. Wildman, please show some respect, please. Thanks, Mr. Wildman. Well, I could attend today, Mr. Wildman, but I've just had a COVID test, so anyway. Okay, moving on, deputations by members of the public. Any there, GM?
No, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Planning authority items. For the purpose of considering the following planning authority items, council is acting as a planning authority under the provisions of the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993. Planning authority one, which is there in front of us. So the motion is there, councillors. Would somebody like to move that motion? Thanks, Councillor Sheriff. Somebody like to second the motion?
There is a representative, Mr. Mayor.
There is, sorry. Stand corrected. I'm in your hands, General Manager, because I can't see that well from here.
Joanne Mitchell is the representative, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Joanne, like to address the council?
Oh, it's Karen Murray.
Huh? Sorry.
What I said was Karen Murray did not attend.
Okay. Joanne Mitchell.
Sorry, Mitchell.
Mitchelson, sorry. Sorry, Joanne.
Joanne, if you can hold the microphone reasonably close so that we can all hear, especially myself. Thank you.
Where is he? Oh, hello. How are you, Wayne?
Good, thanks.
That's good. Just want to thank you all for the opportunity to come and speak to the council in person. Is that close enough? I value this and value you, our team of councillors. You are part of us, one community, the aim being to look after each other. I hope and pray you always remember this duty to hear and serve the community. We who voted you in, may there be peace. My name is Joanne Mitchelson, your local artist and musician from number 30, 5 Acre Row, Westbury. That's number 30, 5, written like a word, acre as in green acres, row like row your boat, not a road. This is how I explain my address, as I've had mail addressed to number 35 Acre Road. People ask me, why is it called 5 Acre Row? And I explain, it's because we have 5 acre lots in this street, and at the beginning of its history, the lots were allocated to military pensioners, enough land to be self-sufficient. This was the rule, and I always thought it would remain as the name indicated, making possible the opportunity for a particular lifestyle choice. This is why I chose to live here, and it's what I and the majority voted to retain when we were given the opportunity to vote. I moved off a 1,000-acre farm, and this was the compromise. I would have thought the councillors who come from farms themselves would have the ability of more empathy, please. I feel it's important to retain the semi-rural hobby farm lifestyle and to protect aspects such as the views of mountains, the rural and historic aspects, which in turn helps look after the well-being of residents, present and into the future. Some people do not thrive in built-up areas. And I'd like to just point out that the grid pattern of Five Acre Row itself is historical because it mentioned in the planning about the historical aspects and that there weren't any, but the street itself is historical. The Hopes are lovely people and probably have no idea how much I've enjoyed seeing their paddocks with flock of Suffolk sheep over the years. I particularly enjoyed it and got solace from it during COVID restrictions. Maybe they have good reason for wanting to subdivide. However, I don't know what it is, so it doesn't help me empathise. Would more community consultation help? If the subdivision were to be just one block, 2.5 acres, there would still be the possibility of retaining an area to build plus graze a few animals, but I would still prefer to see it as a 5-acre block. I thank God I see through the eyes of my occupation of artist and musician. And here's my painting of one of my favourite Westbury scenes, which I can hand around if you would like to see it closer. On reading the report of this agenda, I felt quite deflated as though I'd addressed a brick wall or a robot. All these clauses are overwhelming. It's an overwhelming system, an impersonal lingo and rather godless realm, I felt, of human rules. I see the planners have a difficult... Our local planners have a difficult job going through this system, and I respect this. However, did you read the responses to the concerns put forward by myself and Karen? For example, the adjoining property owners' desires or need to enjoy paddocks, farm animals and views are not a matter that the Tasmanian planning scheme can consider. And motivation for development is not a consideration of the assessment process. And mental and spiritual well-being is apparently not a matter dealt with in the Tasmanian planning scheme. This is what we're up against, this system. The attitude tells us a lot about what is behind the growing problems in our society and environment. Indifference is the biggest danger to us all. It's the responsibility of everyone to look after the welfare of all our fellow humans and environment to the best of our ability. It's a basic requirement of living on the planet. If you look up the Land Use and Planning Act of 1993 in the Aims and Objectives Part 1 and 2, you will find actually that by law they do have to take into account the social impacts, which would include our well-being, wouldn't it? I worry about how much development will be allowed. Let's move on, sorry. I see in Tasmania there is a lack of affordable housing and a need to share. So I do try to see the big picture, and I'm not saying no development. Since the onset of COVID, a lot of people want to move to Tasmania, which is now a haven on a world scale, isn't it? It seems the wealthy among these are buying up homes and getting in ahead of our own people, though, leaving some with nowhere. And I have a friend who's now living in a renovated bus as a van with her 9-year-old daughter because she can't afford to rent. So I would like to see housing for these people that they can afford. However, it worries me that often it seems if we indicate we're willing to give an inch, certain persons in authority, such as the TAS planning scheme, think it gives them the right to take a mile. And the people feel like they've got no power. I disagree with allowing a little bunch of business-minded people in an office in Hobart or wherever to make the final decision on the planning scheme for Westbury and other country villages around Tasmania, with which they probably have no connection or care. One size does not fit all. Everything is never all black and white, so to speak. There are different perspectives to consider. Some blocks have been sold and developed in Five Acre Row and nearby streets and been retained as 5 acres. And it's good to see young families have built and divided the rest of the land into small paddocks, running some livestock, including ponies for children, and chickens and vegetable gardens, etc. I prefer to see these larger lots remain as such, so the possibility of this lifestyle in Westbury can continue into the future. It's not just about 23 five-acre row near which I live. What would we hope for Westbury to look like in the future for generations to come, in 50 or 100 years? What can we expect it to be like if wealthy developers are allowed to buy up all the lots and divide them up with the motive of bleeding as much money as possible, with no concern for the future well-being of the town or the lifestyle for which this community is presently renowned? I have my favourite places, paddocks and special views in the town, including in my street, which I hope will remain untouched for others to enjoy into the future. The proposal for number 23 Five-Acre Row is to create two new subdivisions which will be vacant. No development is yet proposed, however, if it is subdivided, no doubt we can expect they will be built on eventually. Karen, my neighbour who couldn't be here, asked me to comment on the speed of the traffic up Five-Acre Row. I think she was concerned that it would make it worse, maybe. It is an issue, because the subdivision would create two new entrances into the street as well, and Karen lives almost directly opposite there. One more comment is, it's claimed the ditch in the neighbouring property will not be a problem to building development, but I've seen it flood at least within the fence line of this property, I'm pretty certain. Storm water infrastructure could be built as indicated, and would this mean disturbing the present ditch, or would they make a new stormwater drain with unnatural edges?
Joanie, can you wrap it up if that's all right, please?
Okay, I just wanted to let you know that we now have the green and gold bellfrogs happily residing in that part of Westbury, and they're now living in my garden the last few years. And the last thing I wanted to say was, and houses are now allowed to be built too close to boundaries. I like my new neighbours, but now feel somewhat uncomfortable when I go into my orchard, because the house backs right up near the paddock fence. And the view of Quamby Bluff, which I made an image of to use as my business logo, is now cluttered by a house and some sheds. I was told I couldn't complain on the grounds of a view. Because I'm an artist, of course, I think this shows ignorance and indifference. I just beseech you to please have foresight in planning, and to see the big picture, community consultation and input for our town, to allow the community to have input. And this would facilitate understanding and diminish ill feeling. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Joanne. Thanks for that. No other representatives, GM?
No, Mr. Mayor.
Right. So, Councillor Sheriff has moved. Do we have a seconder for this motion? Councillor Cameron, thank you. Councillor Sheriff has a move of the motion. Do you wish to speak?
I'll just pass it across to the other councillors for discussion at this stage. Thanks, Mayor.
Yeah, Councillor Cameron as the seconder. Do you wish to speak?
Yeah, thanks, Mayor. Sorry, I can't see. Thanks, Joanne. And I think I know that planning is very emotive, and you've got a lot of emotion there, and I really appreciate you sharing that with us, because I'm a pretty emotional person. I get emotionally attached to really weird things, and I understand where you're coming from. My problem with planning, with the planning authority, is I can't be emotional. I have to follow the rules. It's difficult. It really is. You know, Laura's done a lot of work, and thank you for that, Laura. And, we can't go back in time and change those rules, but, I did have a question for Laura, actually. So it's currently, and this is because it's changed, and I'm just a bit unsure on the new scheme. So this is now going to be currently divided into three, the minimum 5,000 square metres, which these ones meet. Is there a possibility this could actually be carved up further?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Councillor. So the implementation of the Westbury Specific Area Plan has limited the amount of lots that can be created. So in this specific instance, they've got the minimum 2 hectares. So out of when you've got 2 hectares, it can be subdivided to a maximum of 3 lots. One has to be a minimum of 1 hectare, and then that's why we see the additional 2 at the 5,000. Sorry, the lot one's going to be the 1.06 hectares. So, under the Westbury Specific Area Plan and the implementation of the Tasmanian Planning Scheme, it's not, that's correct, yeah.
Any other questions, Councillor Cameron? Okay. I'll open it up for councillors for discussion or questions. Councillor White?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And thank you. Am I? Yep, okay. And thank you, Joanne. I have to say, on a personal level, I sympathise completely with the picture that Joanne has painted. I live on 5 acres and I have a fabulous view, and I'd be very sad if that had to change. But I was very keen to know whether the specific area plan reflected the whole community, because I think I and any other councillor's job brief is to represent the community to the best of their ability. So what I, the information that I was forwarded about the specific area plan was that it was informed as a result of a survey conducted in 2020. So it's pretty current, that there were 87 responses, 57 of which agreed that subdivision should be allowed. There was a difference in size. And as a result of that, the Meander Valley Council planners proposed to the Tasmanian Planning Commission that there should be 8,000 square metre lots, but that was refused on apparently possibly to do with consistency, which, again, I sympathise with Joanne that I don't think one size fits all, but that is beyond our ability to affect. So given that the broader community appears to come down on the side of allowing some subdivisions, I will be casting my vote accordingly to allow this, not because I think it's necessarily, or not that I think personally that it's desirable or anything else like that, but just that our job is to represent the entire community. And it looks to me as though the majority of the Westbury community has come down on the side of allowing this. So that's why I will be voting as I will.
Thanks, Councillor Watt. Any other councillor? Yes. Kelly?
Yeah, look, this is a tough one. We've been down this road more than three or four times before. We've done the survey. Councillor White covered off on the survey. It was a compromise position, I guess, from 4 lots to 3, which is as a result of the survey. And it is a very tough one. And I too will be voting accordingly, because I would like to see council doing the ratepayers have unnecessary costs.
Councillor Kelly. Councillor King.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm unable to support the officer's recommendation on this planning application, despite understanding why the planner's recommendation is to approve. My opposition is to the effect of this scheme. At the inception of the Westbury Specific Area Plan, allowing block sizes to be reduced to 5,000 square metres, I voiced my concern that this plan would allow for a significant intensification of the number of dwellings in an area that was intended for lifestyle properties. The number of subdivisions and the subsequent objections to them since the special area plan was introduced, in my opinion, has proven me correct. The current grab for short-term financial gain at the expense of lifestyle amenity is far too great, and once these blocks are carved up and reduced in size, will be nigh impossible to undo.
Thanks, Councillor King. Councillor Sinfield?
Yes. I had the feeling, and so I'm asking the technical question first, we were going to get a further update, I thought, from our planner in relation to this matter. Should we be getting that before councillors are making comments and leaning on way they're going to vote, etc.? And whilst I'm asking that question, could I... given a earlier comment, can we, or the question that was asked of our planner, can we get an absolute or some clarity about should this be approved, one of the lots will be 1.06 hectares. Is it possible to come back after approval, so next week or next year or whenever, and further seek to subdivide that 1.06 hectare lot, or is it a one-time deal in terms of the 2 hectare current provision in attempting to or seeking to divide it up as currently proposed? Does it in fact get entrenched into it that further subdivision cannot occur?
Thanks, Councillor Sinfield. You are right. There was that additional bit of information which I'll ask the planner to talk about, and then perhaps she can answer that second question as well.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Councillor. I apologise. So, yes, as discussed earlier and circulated earlier, Appendix 1 has been sent out to councillors. That was in response to an email raised. It's a new provision in the Tasmanian planning scheme that allows, or rather requires, the planning authority to have regard to additional aspects when considering development not required to be categorised into a use class. So that has been circulated, and I do have extra copies if no one has it in front of them. I'd like to note that also was circulated both to the applicant and to the representors as well. In speaking to the comment in regards to further subdivision, so the Westbury specific area plan is very clear in its specific in its assessment for subdivision. So you need to have a lot no less than 2 hectares to be able to subdivide. So that 1.06 hectare lot would be prohibited for subdivision under the current provisions. I can't speak for future. Obviously, we would hope that the Tasmanian planning scheme is in operation for quite some time, but at the moment, that's what we're dealing with and definitely could not be subdivided further.
Thanks, Laura. Another one, Councillor Sinfield?
Some point I would make the comments, so I could do that now if I may.
Yes,
I will join Councillor King in not being able to support this proposal as proposed, and for the reason that, I probably see the additional or the issues in the appendix. I do think there is some impacts in terms of negative impacts on amenity. I view the various elements in the scheme and the specific area plan that are talking about and addressing a strong grid pattern. I don't have a problem that you might have divided this block up into two, but the insertion of the internal lot, in my view, does impact negatively on, and it's a subjective view, on the amenity of the area. What I see in the strong grid pattern, which has been seriously weakened in recent years, I do admit that, by some of the decisions that, in terms of subdivisions of this entire area is undertaken. But in my view, what you had was a grid pattern of roads and hedgerows that were, in most cases, with a couple of long-term exceptions, that the houses faced the road and they had a very substantial distance to the next road with a house facing that road. So what you looked out your back window, if you like, your amenity was of a semi-rural aspect where the next house wasn't just over your back fence, and I acknowledge that there's a degree of separation, but once we're past this stage, any house, the requirements there in relation to the low-density area, specific area plan aside, are for relatively short distances to boundaries. So in a sense, the significant part of the assessment that we're doing for what will no doubt ultimately end up being houses established on these additional lots is the the important part we're doing is at the subdivision stage, in a sense, not the subsequent step that will no doubt ensue in terms of building a residence. So
3 minutes, Councillor.
In my view, we need to get it as correct as we can now, because the horse is bolted once we get beyond this step. And so for me, I'm still not comfortable about the impacts on amenity of the internal lot, and that will inform my vote.
Thanks, Councillor. From my point of view, while I sit here without going to the other councillors around the table, I concur with Councillor White and Councillor Kelly that we did go out to the residents of these areas, the residents that own these blocks. We did ask their views on what they would like to see for their land, and their recommendations came back to us. And that is what we've put into the plan. And it was a compromise from allowing a lot of subdivision to allowing a few. So I'll actually be voting in favour of this recommendation. Any other councillors? Councillor Knott.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, can I say that very passionate representation from Joanne. Probably in the few years I've been on councils, that's the most passionate I've ever heard. So congratulations. You spoke from the heart. And having spoken to both Joanne earlier today and also talked to Karen Murray, and looking at Five Acre Row, it is a difficult one because, as the plan has quite rightly said, the specific area plan there intimated as well that it's made it very difficult to not pass this, for the very reason that the limitations are such that 5,000 square metres and so on. But I do take into account the historic nature of the particularly in the area. Five Acre Row, it mentions here that the low density grid array varies along Five Acre Row. Something to say that just before I finish. Joanne mentioned social impact. Councillor Sinfield talked about amenity and so on. The grid pattern and the hedgerows and the effect of this internal lots does give a little discretion. I agree with Councillor King. Congratulate her for bringing that forward. But it does give the opportunity for, depending on how this vote goes, to perhaps to question or make it a test case. Granted, the majority of those in the survey who voted supported this particular change or allowance, but there are other issues, and that is where individuals connect as a planning authority. Talking to Karen, she indicated that some time ago council passed 87 Five Acre Row. And she said, I haven't seen it, did before, but currently that's been fully developed. There's only basically two gum trees left on that building, so the vegetation's gone. It does affect it quite significantly. I'm a bit betwixt and between, but I do think that with discretion, and as I mentioned, acting as a planning authority, I value the comments from Councillor Cynthia and Councillor King in relation to just see where this might go if it was challenged, because it is the thin edge of the wedge. If this is passed, then there'll
3 minutes, Councillor.
I'll finish up. There'll be very many more, and I do think someone has to go and say stop. So I will be voting against it for those reasons. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Any other comments, councillors? Any? I take that as no. Councillor Kelly, you're not? No? Okay. No other comments? I'll go back to the seconder of the motion, which is Councillor
Cameron. Nothing further to add, thank you.
Councillor Sheriff, as the mover of the motion.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. As a mover of the motion, obviously I probably speak on behalf of all the councillors when I say that this is the hardest part about acting as planning authority. In most regard, our hands are tied as far as if it's approved by the planning scheme. I do sympathise with the neighbours, but I also sympathise for the developer because obviously it's his land, and if what he wants to do with it is in line with the planning scheme, I think he should be allowed to do that as well. So, as Frank said, it's a double-edged sword. It's a difficult one, but we sit here as a planning authority and we've got to make a decision for the best case of the ratepayers, I suppose. So I'll leave it at that. Thanks.
Thanks, Councillor. Okay, I'll put the motion to the vote then. All those in favour of the motion as it sits, please raise your hand and say aye.
Aye.
All those against? I guess from looking from here, the motion is carried.
Yeah. 5-4, Mr. Mayor.
5-4. Motion is carried. Thank you. Okay, moving out of planning authority into corporate services. One, budget estimates. There's a long recommendation there, which we have workshopped to do with all sorts of things relating to rates and rubbish. Would somebody like to move the motion?
I'm happy to move it, Mr. Mayor, but I do have a amendment I would like to put forward.
Thank you, Councillor Cameron.
Just Chair, a question.
Can we put the amendment through before we vote on the motion now or not?
I've got a whole lot of technical wording, but I can just tell you what it is in plain speak. You'll have to
right.
Yeah, if someone wants to second me. So I was happy to amend the motion, but with the removal of the position as stated on page 95 of the attachment, which I'll just flip to 595 of the attachment. So I support the motion, but with the removal of the permanent position planned as an organisation performance reporting and cultural officer in the government governance department.
Councillor Sinfield?
Yeah, procedural point. Sorry to be the bringer of doom and gloom. Regulation 17 says, at a meeting, a councillor who did not move or second a motion may move a motion to amend the original motion. So we have a little bit of a problem.
Can't I move it with an amendment if someone seconds it? If no one seconds it?
I don't think the mover of the motion can put the amendment. Is that the point you're trying to make, Councillor Sinfield?
Yes.
Well picked up, Councillor Sinfield.
Probably. I mean, if we're saying we haven't even got a motion before us, and
that's
we're
correct.
Saying it's now something else, well, maybe you can get away with that. But
can I make
a suggestion, Mayor?
Yes, Councillor Kelly.
So the simplest way, because I picked up on earlier too, I'm quite happy to move the motion. Someone else second it, then Steph can put an amendment.
Yeah. Councillors are happy for that. Councillor Kelly will move the motion as it sits. And I need a seconder for the motion, then the amendment can be put before we vote on the motion. Councillor King, thank you. Now, Councillor Cameron, did you have an amendment to this motion, I think?
This is deja vu. Yes.
Okay. So your amendment, can you read it out formally, what the amendment is, if you haven't already done so that it's recorded?
Yeah, well, I go on for a whole lot of stuff about... Do you want to have a debate on it first, or do you want me just to read it out?
Well, we've got to get a seconder before we debate it.
you have Councillor King second it, didn't he? Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, Councillor King's only second the original motion. You're about to move a motion. You need a seconder before we can...
No. I just thought you wanted to have the debate on the original motion before I started speaking. But that's okay. My amendment, just to...
Yes?
Is I can go on and speak about the rest of the budget as well, if you like, but the removal of the position on page 95 of the attachment.
Right. Is there a set of words that you have for that, though?
Yeah, I've just emailed them to Marilyn. Oh. Sorry, I thought I had them. It's long. I can go on and talk about the rest of the budget in the meantime if you want.
No, you can't, because we need to move this motion.
Okay. Might not accept it. There you go, John. No. That's what I thought. This should be spoken to first, yeah.
Are we close, people?
No, but Marilyn's just getting it. Can you put it up on the screen?
Mayor, would I be able to have a look at what Steph is talking about as my agenda's been shuffled?
Yeah, try and put it up on the screen at the moment, Mick, so you can see. So it's page 95 Steph is talking about. I know.
Not on my agenda.
I know.
No. Yes, that's why I wasn't reading that. Cut and paste it.
Mr. Mayor,
yes.
Might I suggest a 2-minute adjournment while we sort out the matter?
You went really weird and quiet. of Moohoon Amendment. So I've confused Rodney the dictionary. Instead of, okay.
Are we back or are we going on holidays? What's happening?
Oh, Wayne, they're still having a drink at the moment. Probably be a couple of minutes.
Hey, Mick, I'll put wood on the fire. I'll board the billy.
I put wood on the fire. I went for a walk.
Yeah, well, I did that too, actually. Though, that's three things. Are we ready? I mean, I'm home. Some of you people have to travel home, so.
Not quite, Mayor. We're missing a couple of councillors. They'll be back shortly, I'm sure.
Are we all settled? Let me know when you're all there, please. Are we right?
I think so, Mr. Mayor. Yes.
Okay. So the amended motion sits there as Councillor Cameron has put. I need a seconder for that motion so that we can then debate the motion if we need to. And I've got a really little screen here at the moment. So, Councillor Knott, thank you. I can see that. Okay. As the mover of the motion, Councillor Cameron, would you like to speak to it?
Thank you. First of all, thank John, probably Justin as well, for the effort they put into the budget. It's, I think the Mayor said earlier on today, it's probably one of the most important decisions we make whilst on council each year, and the recommendation is quite lengthy. I did mention to John before I had to have some clarification. I'll probably ask you some questions to help with the clarification. So, as you know, I've pointed out that I am happy to support the recommendation, but with the amendments that we just worked out the wording. And I'm also want to say thanks to John for being so frugal. I think I said it last year, he is very good with money, and I do appreciate how well he reins us in on occasions. In saying that, we have needed to increase the rate this year. Obviously, last year we didn't increase it with the COVID, whatever you call that, issues, I guess. And the probably big thing to note with the budget this year as well is the change with the waste. Waste has gone up just so much. It's quite unbelievable, actually. And as council, we're putting a lot of work into waste, into our tip sites, and how we can manage that into the future. It's something that I, along with other councillors, have been asked a number of times, is about tip vouchers. I know other councils provide them. I also know that it won't suit everybody, but I do think it is a move in the right direction. So I am pleased to see that there'll be two tip vouchers which can be used here, either at Meander Valley or Remount Road. So, John, in the pre-meeting, we just spoke a little bit about the way the recommendation's worded, and I said that I was a bit scared when I saw lots of big jumps in waste numbers, and you've explained it to me quite well. So do you think we can go back in time and you do that again for the purpose?
Councillor, can I just pull you up a little bit? Because we really need to talk about this amended motion that we need to vote on. So I know you're trying to cover off on the actual budget item itself, but the item that you are talking about is the removal of one unfilled position at the moment. So
yeah,
I just want to pull you back to that.
Yeah, that's fine. Sorry, I was just on a waste tangent when I was talking about the tips.
I realise that. That's why I'm pulling you back to where we probably need to be.
So, John, you remember that, what I want to talk about there. So page 95 of the attachment. So my proposal is to remove that planned position. I believe that council as an organisation has just been through a massive restructure. I don't believe it is in the best interests of the ratepayers at the current time for this position. That's my belief. It would be something I would like to have a cooling off period for longer and maybe revisit it at a later date, but that is my view, that position, you know, we've gone through a massive restructure. We've increased by 5.2 full-time equivalent as a result of that review. It's not my view that we should be increasing for this position.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Knott, as the seconder of the motion, do you want to make any comment?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I agree with the sentiments for the mover. It certainly is significant with the restructure and the number of new employees. I commend the GM on that. We've seen that in operation most recently, gradually. I do take very seriously, though, the other comment that the mover made in relation to the cost to council and the cost to ratepayers. Granted, as we know, the significant increases with waste, while some of those certainly support, I support the area of the FOGO in Hadsman and Prospect Vale. The other point that is valid is that we need to think about those that might be doing it tough. We do look like with the similar, most of the councils, your rate increase has been 3.5% or round about that. I also accept the fact that some sort of cooling off period or thought about it. I just think it's perhaps a step too far. It does raise, or I see an orange light. In other words, just it's all very well to have the restructure and have these positions brought in. But I congratulate the financial director, John Harmy, in that sense. But I do think that perhaps a wise or frugal or a measured move to not go one extra step in putting a permanent position, organisation performance reporting and cultural officer. I do think we, in my view, at this stage, we probably don't need that. I can't be convinced. So I'll be supporting the mover. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Knott. Councillors, open up for discussion.
Councillor Kelly.
Councillor Kelly, sorry, thanks, Councillor Kelly.
Look, Steph, in my opinion, I think this is diving really deep into the operational matters. I know in the past we have had service deliveries. We've got some retirements coming up, and I do put a fair bit of faith into, I know we've had a restructure, and sometimes you do have to look in a different direction and put other people on. So I know that you have concerns around the image of what it may look like, but at the same token, we've still got to keep our operation running as a business, and it is definitely an operational matter.
Thanks, Councillor Kelly. Councillors, any other discussion? And you've just got to wait for my view to come up because it's... thanks, John. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm confused as to the motion that is before us. Is this the motion that includes the moving of the budget as a whole, or is it simply a motion that is to remove a certain position, and then if that's not passed, then we move back to the original motion?
That is correct, John. We are moving an amendment to the original motion. We're voting on the amendment at the moment. If the amendment fails, we're back to the original motion.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, therefore, should we be speaking on the whole thing or just the subject in hand, which is the actual position?
In my point, it should be on the amended motion.
Right. Which includes the whole budget. No, just the actual position. Could I ask through you, Mr. Mayor, what was hoped to be gained by that position, and how was it going to be cost effective to the council?
That would be a question that the general manager would have to answer, or John Harmy, one of them.
I'll answer it, Mr. Mayor, if that's all right. The role is as stated, a new position. The restructure, you may recall, was only dealing with two major sections of the organisation, that being the planning and regulatory function and also the infrastructure function. We have a second stage of restructuring in terms of looking at works department, perhaps. I don't foresee major change in that area. But corporate will result in major change simply because we've got to upgrade our IT systems and do a whole lot of work. In addition, as councillors, you have indicated a desire to focus on customer service and achieving better outcomes for ratepayers, and that requires us to consider things like the modernisation of how we receive payments, how we process information and distribute information, the question of how we service the eastern frontier, as I call it, Prospect Vale and Blackstone Heights, which has a significant travel distance to the office here at Westbury. All of those things are captured in the concept of a modernisation agenda for council. That modernisation agenda in a small organisation like council with less than 40-odd staff in the office environment cannot be achieved whilst those staff are delivering services. It's akin to asking someone who's building a car on a production line to also claim model the next generation of car. So you actually have to resource those questions around performance, service development, and review functions. This position, in part, is a project management role, but it's also enshrining the capability in the organisation to measure and report on performance. And that pays dividends. In the old saying, if you're not measuring it, it's not happening. What we are wanting to do is to improve the level of scrutiny and measurement and quantification of effort, value for money for ratepayers, etc. It's a gap in our structure. It harks back to a previous restructure, which essentially took out one director and several officers in the governance function. In my view, that restructure in the past was far too deep, and the organisation is running too lean on key functions, not the least of which is to spend time developing the business for the future work as opposed to just struggling by with what we've got. That's essential because we have a significant curve in terms of increased demand for services. We've got a growing population. We've got a whole lot of development that has happened. That is not going to go away. That's going to increase. So, yeah.
Councillor Temple, yep.
So, Mr. Mayor, do I interpret that as that it's someone to work on the business rather than within the business because everyone else is working within the business?
Yes.
Councillors, a question for the GM. GM, was this part of the organisational review that we ticked off as councillors in December? Was this position part of that?
No, Mr. Mayor, it wasn't. It has come from a discussion at workshop with councillors around the two of the top five priorities, and one of those is customer service and the second one is culture and improving the performance and service focus of the organisation.
Thank you. Councillor Sinfield's moving for the microphone.
Yes. I don't know how you'll handle this question since we're dealing with an amendment, but it goes to exactly the same point, and that is on page 95 of the agenda. It talks about a new temporary position is planned for community services in the governance department. Can I just, we could be piecemeal around this, 100 times. Can I just get some clarity on how long, in terms of funding that, how long is that temporary position for, and a bit of detail about it as well, if I may?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the temporary position is part of our succession management. We have a number of staff across the organisation who are 60 years or more in age, and consistent with previous instances where we've brought officers on ahead of retirement of people. We're looking to use that role to manage succession of a long-standing employee and ensure that the knowledge that that long-standing employee has is actually transferred in those 12 months.
So it's a 12-month...
That's right.
Okay, councillors, any other questions, comments? I can't see Councillor Sheriff, but that's fine. He'll put his hand up if he needs to. Nothing? I'll go back.
Can I follow that one up then? On page 96, we're doing a one-month transition. What about without, I might know who it is, but without naming that role and that position, what about it do we think requires a 12-month transition as opposed to the, just for example, a 1 month mention on the next page?
So through you, Chair, so the 1 month we have had a resignation councillor, and that's, again, a person that's in a similar position to what the general manager's indicated there. So we have an end date when we have a temporary arrangement there that we're working towards with an employee.
Does the other one have a necessity for a 12-month period?
Yeah, because, so through you, Mr. Mayor, so we have a 1 month end date on one of those temporary positions, but we don't have an end date on the second. But as the general manager's indicated, the budget's for through to 30 June 2022. That's at least what is being budgeted for here.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, if I can just add.
Yes.
Councillor, the duration of 12 months represents the focus and nature of the role being succeeded. We have an officer with more than 40 years experience who does a range of functions in the organisation. It's a complex role. It's a role that relies very much on that experience and what's in the officer's head. And a 12-month period is really, I suspect, the minimum to experience the full range of duties that that role currently performs.
Okay, Pebble, I'm going to go back and I'm going to put to the seconder of the motion, which is Councillor Knott. We need to wrap this up and continue on. Any discussion, Councillor?
No, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Cameron is the mover of the motion. You got anything further to add?
No, I need to apologise on my tangent about waste, something I get a bit excited about.
Just hold that thought for about 1 minute and you can go on that tangent.
I won't repeat it.
All right, so I'll put the motion as it stands. So all those in favour to the amendment of the motion, please raise your hands and say aye. I can't see from here. You'll have to count for me, GM.
Three.
One, two, three. Right, all those against, please raise your hand and say aye.
Aye.
That is six, I gather.
That's the balance, yes.
Righto, so the amendment is lost. Now we go back to the original motion, which was moved by Councillor Kelly, seconded by Councillor King. So as the mover of the motion, Councillor Kelly, do you have anything to talk about?
Look, just in brief, we've covered off on a lot of this. I know it's pretty tough. Steph did cover off on it a bit earlier that we stalled rates last year. We do have to play a little bit of catch up. And look, the rubbish thing has been hanging over our heads for a long time, 6 or 8 years, and it's really nice to be able to try and move forward with it. So I'll open it up for discussion.
Thanks, Councillor Kelly. Councillor King, as a second up. Nothing to add? I'll open up for discussion then, and I'll just wait for my screen to come back to normal so I can see people. Right. Okay, open up for the show. Sorry, Steph, away you go.
No, I was just going to say maybe since John had to try and remember what I said for the last 10 minutes, he might be a good time for him to answer.
Okay.
So through you, Mr. Mayor, so over the last probably 3 or 4 months, councillors have had a number of workshop discussions around waste, what waste services to our community look like and the cost that is imposed to the ratepayer on that. So our waste charges have a fixed component where we have what's proposed in the motion here is $107 for every property owner, and they... this was introduced some time ago. It forms part of Council's rates policy and financial management strategy. So that fixed waste component underpins all of the services that Council provides in its tips and transfer stations. There is some development work that the Council have decided in May 2021 that they would like to undertake. Future planning for a new landfill cell. We are about to open a new cell area at Cluin, and establishment of a new transfer station, a contemporary transfer station facility at the Deloraine Waste Centre. And that's prohibiting a customer's access to the tip face from a risk perspective, but also to improve the service and make it easier for people to access that service. So we have a charge that's going up, a fixed charge, an equitable charge that's going up to $107. Also including that's the provision of 2 waste vouchers to each property owner. We also have a variable service charge for those properties that are in our curbside bin collection area. They pay an additional fee, which is reflective of the cost of that service. So while there are cost increases in that area, that is because the garbage and the recycling collection costs have increased significantly. I think that our recycling cost has increased by 93% in the last 2 years, which is quite substantial. So the intent in the recommendation and the motion that's been moved is for the costs of that service to be passed on to those that receive that service, and a commitment to undertake a tender to test the market and to make sure that the suppliers have a competitive tension in that tender, and that we will, again, next year, we will, I expect, be approving a curbside bin collection fee, and that will reflect the current cost of that, as the motion that we're looking at here at the moment reflects the current cost of providing the curbside bin collection service to those properties.
Thanks, John. Councillors, open up for discussion. Any questions, discussions, councillors? Oh, everyone seems to be happy. Councillor Temple.
Mr. Mayor, I just wanted to note that the proposed rate rise this year is actually for 2 years. It's cumulative for 2 years. We didn't go ahead with a rate rise last year due to COVID-19. So really we're, in essence, catching up at this point, or at least that's how I understand it to be. I would like to know more about the rubbish and the structure of that, and what it will mean moving forward for ratepayers, what they should expect their experience over the next, say, 15 months to be, or what changes they should expect to have happen.
Thanks, John. One of the Johns like to respond to that.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Mayor, I'll respond. Councillor, we've got a convergence of a couple of things that we need to manage, as you'd be generally aware. The first one is that our landfills at Deloraine is at the end of its life, and we need to actually move to achieve a ongoing landfill capacity within the municipality. At the moment, we've got Cluin, a new cell at Cluin coming online. That'll buy us about 6 years' worth of capacity for the landfill, and in the meantime, we'll cap off the existing landfill site at Deloraine, establish a transfer station whilst we work through the Environmental Protection Agency approvals, land acquisition and build and construction sort of process to put in place a new landfill at Deloraine. So that's the first thing. The second element is our curbside collection service. Like every other municipality, we're hit hard with industry increases in fees and charges. Our curbside collection is currently about to go out for renewal, so we're at end of current contract. And so whilst our current contract has essentially buffered the council from too much increase, we are now having to run the gauntlet of the market. So over the next 12 months, we'll work through to determine the pricing of a range of options for the municipality. At the very least, we'll consider for the 10 townships that currently, or areas that currently get curbside collection, standardising that service. And that service, we hope, the pricing will allow us to make decisions in relation to general waste collection, FOGO, food organics, garden organic collection, and recycling. So what we're bringing into those 10 townships, we hope, is a contemporary level of service, not inconsistent with Launceston and other municipalities. it all depends on the result of the tender with the waste contractors. We, as Councillor Cameron alluded to, we're introducing tip vouchers, two tip vouchers each year as a consequence of the direction that we're moving forward. We're going to be maintaining at this point in time our waste transfer stations at Chudley and Mole Creek, servicing Chudley and Mole Creek area, and also the relationship around the Meander transfer station. So we're not proposing in the short to medium term to change those. However, if we get favourable pricing in terms of our tenders, then we'll look at all of that. Our approach is to ask the market, the providers of curbside collection, what works best in terms of cost effectiveness and value for money. We'll look at that, what they propose, and then come back to the council with an idea around the extent of change in the services. The other thing that we'll need to accommodate, looking at the financial issues, is the Tasmanian government has signalled the introduction of a waste levy. They've indicated that is probably likely to be around $20. They've deferred that this year, so the new financial year will see us possibly needing to accommodate an increased waste levy. At the moment, we pay about $5 per tonne through our Northern Tasmanian sort of waste relationships. That'll go to $20. Unclear as to what else will happen. The recycling market, offshore market, has introduced a whole lot of variability. We're no longer exporting our recycling goods to Asia. And so that means we have to look at the onshore recycling market, and that's an emerging market with dynamics and costs unclear. Yeah, so, and go on, but it's probably enough.
Thanks, Jim. Councillor Temple.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Can the community be assured that we will do whatever we can to keep waste costs or charges in check?
Yes, I can answer that one, absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Any other questions, comments, councillors? I'll make one regarding waste. This is something that's been hanging around Meander Valley Council's neck for a long time, that we are running out of space in our tips and we have to do something. And this council has actually brought it forward. We're actually going to do something with waste in the Meander Valley, which is really good to see. I appreciate it also with the IT items that are in the budget. We are lagging behind. We have to upgrade. We have to spend some money. And unfortunately, somebody has to pay for it. But we have to modernise the organisation as it is. So thanks to John Harmy and staff for putting this together, and the general manager as well. I'll be supporting the motion as it sits. So any other comments, questions, councillors? Can't see any hands coming up. If not, I'll go back to the seconder of the motion, Councillor King. Nope. Councillor Kelly is the mover of the motion.
Yeah, look, I'd really like to thank the staff in the back rooms. They all know who they are to put so much work into this. It's pretty tough, but I'm very happy with where they've got us. We know we've got to, as Councillor Temple covered off on us, essentially 2 years. We had no rate increase. Happy to support it.
Thanks, Councillor Kelly. I've just got to wait for my screen because after you talk, it doesn't go back to the main screen for some reason. Anyway, I'll put the motion and the GM, you'll have to take a note of hands, but I'll put the motion. So all those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hands.
Aye.
And all those against, please do the same.
So, Mr. Mayor, Councillor Sinfield voted against and everyone else voted for.
Thank you very much. Moving on. I'm hoping Corporate Services 2 is the next one. Somebody would like to move, somebody would like to second Corporate Services 2, that the recommendation is there, which is coming up on your screen at the moment as we talk.
Mr. Mayor, we just got a we just had a technical issue. It's decided to come back. The attitude flare up's over.
Okay, it's on the screen. Somebody like to move? Thank you, Councillor King. A seconder, please. Councillor Sheriff, thank you. Councillor King, has moved the motion.
Thank you. In line with Councillor Temple's comment from the last item, just acknowledging that the fees were held constant last year in response to the COVID pandemic, and that this year we are somewhat playing catch up, and also want to acknowledge the financial. Justin? For his recommendation and keeping those fees at a very modest increase or keeping some the same. So thank you for your work.
Thanks, Councillor King. Councillor Sheriff, as seconder, any comments?
No, I got nothing to add. Just put it to the floor. Thanks.
Thank you. Councillors, discussions, questions, comments? Take that as a no. Councillor Sheriff, you've got nothing to add, obviously, as a seconder. Councillor King, as the mover? No? Okay, I'll put the motion then. All those in favour, please say aye or raise your hands.
Aye.
All those against? Motion is carried. Thank you. Corporate Services 3. Council Audit Panel. Councillor Knott, you're moving, I gather. Thank you. Councillor Harmy, you had your hand up for some reason. Pardon, Councillor Harmy. John? Sorry, I'm promoting you.
You wouldn't like the pay cut.
Just through, Mr. Mayor.
My apologies.
We just had one minor amendment to the attachment, which is the minutes of the meeting, and that was...
Can you turn your microphone on, John, please? Yes. Speak closer then, please.
There was a minor amendment, Mr. Mayor, to the minutes of the meeting where it was the adoption of the minutes from the April meeting. There was a comment regarding Councillor Knott, which was removed, and it was just that the minutes were adopted.
Thank you. Seconder for the motion, please. Oh, thanks, Councillor Cameron. Councillor Knott is the mover of the motion. Yes.
Sorry, my fault. In relation to some outstanding policies, I did bring that to the attention of the audit meeting the panel, and they were in relation to media communications, HADs for urban growth and industrial land development. In fact, they'd been to a number of quarterly meetings and had not been actioned. My recommendation, or my what I attempted to do and asked the panel, was to look at those, council could look at those and bring back to the September meeting the positive response and a report. So that's the, and that was agreed to. Secondly, not as far as the minutes, but actually the report from the meeting itself. On page 175, the Chair, Andy Gray, convened a meeting of other chairs of audit panels for review of the proposed role of audit panels in reviewing council rates, process. So that is something a little different, and to get consensus around the other councils. And finally, on page 172, and I think could I just ask a question to the General Manager, on page 172, in the last line, will be presented at the June Council meeting. Did you mean 2022? will be presented at the June Council workshop. It'll be the July workshop, will it be?
I can make a comment if you like, yes. Councillor. So the General Manager will be providing a workshop item for the July Council workshop, which... that's right. Well, it was actually discussed briefly at the June workshop. The General Manager indicated his support for an additional independent member, and that'll form part of his workshop item in July.
That follows up with a...
Yes, that's correct. Thanks, John.
Email that I forwarded to Council Nation, the opportunity for, with the resignation of Councillor Bauer, that someone else, another councillor, to be on the audit panel. So with those, I'm happy to move that.
Thanks, Councillor Knott. Councillor Cameron is the second of the motion. You wish to speak?
No, I have nothing to add other than to thank the members of the audit panel for the work they do and, look forward to the discussion at the workshop. Who gets the job to replace Susie Bauer on the audit panel?
Thanks, Councillor Cameron. Councillors, any other discussion? If not, Councillor Knott, do you wish to sum up? There's no other discussion by councillors. Sorry?
Enough time on that. Yes, we have.
All right. I'll put the motion as it stands, and all those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hands. Against? Motion is carried. Thank you. Infrastructure one. Somebody like to move? Somebody like to second the Capital Works program as it sits in front of us? Thank you, Councillor King. A seconder, please. Councillor Cameron, thank you. Councillor King.
Thank you, Mayor. Just would like to acknowledge the work that Rob puts into our Capital Works program and to thank him and be grateful that we've got some good staff having a look at these forward programs and making sure that each section of the municipality is represented and that we have a good, strong asset base.
Councillor Cameron, anything to add?
Just to thank the team for the work they do. I think it's probably something that's pretty tricky to ever get 100% right, so I do appreciate the work you put into it, and there's some good projects in there, so looking forward to seeing them completed or started on, so thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. Open up for discussion or questions, councillors. Councillor Knott?
Yes, just the... In some ways, something we take for granted with the roads and whatever, footpaths in various communities. And I think that the standard of work and the what it does to enhance the community is very much appreciated. Certainly at what you see at the eastern end, throughout the municipality, gives an indication of some good tradesmen, very good work, and for the preparation of and so on. So, congratulations.
Thanks, Councillor Knott. Any other councillors, any comments, questions? Councillor Sinfield.
Yeah, a question. An ongoing problem with... what's stated on page 193, the design and construct the steel arch footbridge in Deloraine for the significant sum of $345,000. I guess it's a two-part question. Could we have some further input on what that's entailing? And also if, and this is asked very lightly of the Deputy Mayor, whether he was able to ascertain any... further information. He was going to do a bit of investigation on this one, I thought, and I wondered whether he'd come up with anything pertinent.
So, question to you, Deputy Mayor.
Can you consolidate the question?
Did you find out the history of the building, I think, was what Rodney's comment was.
Yeah. from what I can gather, I was incorrect. This is the building of the bridge, you mean, Rodney, that's on Howe.
The arched footbridge.
I did touch base with his son Brett, and he talked to his father and said he didn't do it. So I was wrong.
So it wasn't a Howe construction.
No.
Yep. I'd revert back to the first part of my question. Could we get some more? You know, for me, it's a preamble to my question. It's a significant amount of money. Is it more than replacing footings? Is it the sharpness of the arch? What is the justification for a relatively new structure to what I understand is to be an outright replacement?
Maybe that's a question for Rob that's sitting at the end of the table.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. It's a safety issue that's arisen around the compliance, I suppose, the gradient on that particular bridge. So it's a renewal project, and I think given the presence of that in that public space, it's something that we would bring back to a council workshop for information in terms of how we're going to scope that project up and deliver it. Yeah, I mean, the intention is to design and construct a contract, but given the prominence of that structure and relevance to Deloraine, I think we could come back to a council workshop at some point, definitely.
But it is expected that it will be an outright replacement.
Yep.
Thanks, Dino. Thanks, Councillor. Any other discussion, councillors? Take that as a no. Councillor Cameron as the second of the motion. Any comments?
Nothing to add, thanks.
Thanks, Councillor King. Thank you. I'll put the motion in. All those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hands. Thank you. Against? Abstaining. Okay, thank you.
The information to come back to us on that footbridge, I presume, from the previous conversation.
That's the way I took it, Councillor. Come back to a workshop, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Well, no, Governance 1, petition for a call for a public meeting. This, can somebody like to move that motion? Mover of the motion. Thank you, Councillor Cameron. Sorry, a seconder for the motion. Councillor Shaw, thank you. Yes, you can, Councillor King. So just to clarify that, resolves in, you just went through it, to discuss the proposal to build a prison in the Meander Valley or to build a prison that was in the Meander Valley. That was correct? In Meander Valley, right? Okay. Councillor King has put an amendment. Do I have a seconder for that amendment, Councillor? I had a brain loss there for a minute, Deb. Sorry about that, Councillor White. I'm used to writing that down. I apologise. Councillor King, as the mover of the motion, do you want to talk to that?
Despite the actions and some of the conduct today, I am listening to the people that have taken the time out of their lives to come and make their views felt. And I don't think it's a big undertaking to change the wording of that item to reflect their wishes.
Councillor King, thank you. Councillor White is the seconder of the motion.
Yes, I would like to add to Councillor King's comments that our brief as a council is to listen to the community. That's what our, I think our mission statement says, something about working together. So that would indicate that we listened to people, and it was pretty clear today that the people who've attended are very keen to have the discussion broadened. It's in my experience, if you refuse to listen to people, they become more vehement and angry and resentful, and this is not the way to build healthy communities. I think we start by agreeing to the spirit of the proposal, even though the actual wording of the letter did take two goes to talk about it. I think to make a point of that is mean-minded, and I think that we'll make a much better fist of the whole thing if we broaden that topic of discussion, and I can't see that it's such a big ask to do it.
Thanks, Councillor. Okay, you've spoken. Questions, comments, councillors, on the amendment? Councillor Sinfield?
Yeah, I think it's a no-brainer that you have as broad a conversation as possible. I'd have probably added Meander Valley Municipality or the word municipality, but given that Meander Valley isn't necessarily the entire municipality. But I absolutely think that a broad discussion with our communities and their input is essential going forward.
Thanks, Councillor. Based on Councillor Sinfield's comment there, as the mover of the amendment, Councillor King, you're happy that it is the Meander Valley in its entirety, just for clarification for all of us? So that's what I'm getting at. As long as the seconder is happy to make that change. I'm assuming that's come up. I'm not looking at it. We've got it, have we? Yes? Okay, that's what I need. Discussion, councillors. Any more discussion comments?
Yes.
Councillor Kelly?
I'm a bit nervous about this one, broadening it out to the, like, you've got an organisation called RAP, it's Westbury Area Ratepayers Against Prison. Now it wants to include Prospect, the whole broad community. I'm just a bit nervous about it. So I don't quite know what to think of that.
Could I just say, Councillor, that it is the whole Meander Valley that we represent. And I guess it's a discussion to build a prison anywhere in the Meander Valley, that we need to learn from. So, I understand what you're saying, but I'll take comments from other councillors as well if we need to. Questions? Any other questions, comments, councillors, on this amendment?
Just a question.
Question, councillor?
So this will be broadened right out for all the ratepayers of the Meander Valley to actually, and it'll be done in a way in that it's really inclusive rather than, you know, RAPS is it's Westbury Central, as we all know. So I'm assuming it's going to be publicly advertised.
Through you, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, General Manager.
The requirement is that council must advertise the details of a public meeting twice in a daily newspaper, and call also for written public submissions to be addressed in that meeting. There's 21 days from the date of first advertising for those written submissions to be made. They can come from anywhere in the municipality, and the petition actually has a broad representation. I think from memory there was about 250 odd signatures from Westbury close to a similar amount from Prospect Vale, well, I guess Carrick East, etc., etc. So there is broad representation from across the community, and it will be advertised. And we have 30 days from today's date, assuming that the council determines the motion to hold the public meeting.
Thanks, General Manager. Any other questions or comments? councillors. Councillor Cameron.
Sorry. Thanks, Councillor King, Councillor White, for bringing that forward, because that it does make a lot of sense to me to say Meander Valley Municipality. Just also thank you to everybody that's had their patience today. I do appreciate you coming along, and I do look forward to the discussion in 30 days' time.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Sinfield.
Yeah, just on that very last point, do we have to address that issue here today in terms of, you know, we've got 30 days to do it, but have we done any work on should this be approved, when that's likely to be? Does it need to form part of the motion, I suppose?
Question. GM?
It doesn't specifically have to form part of the motion as I view it. We've done some preliminary work on it in terms of availability of venues and conflict with sporting groups that use those venues. We're suggesting Wednesday the 11th of August at 5:30 p.m. As a proposed time, subject to confirmation of availability of obviously yourselves and other parties that may be involved in that public meeting. So we can, I suggest, settle that in the detail offline based on people's commitments and everything else.
Councillor White.
I've got a question to the General Manager. In terms of the construction of the agenda for that meeting, I'm just wondering how that's going to be done, because we have just broadened the discussion from a specific site to a more general discussion. I anticipate that there will also be some comments on the Department of Corrective Services' ability to run any prison at all because of the topical the events of late with lockdowns and noting the number of lockdowns at Risdon, presumably due to shortage of staffing and so on. So the discussion could get quite broad. So I'm just wondering about who constructs the agenda and how it's done, and does it allow for input, or, you know, what's the process?
Just, Councillor White, can I actually ask that you hold that question until we get into the motion itself? Because at the moment we're still
on the amendment.
On the amended motion.
Okay, sorry.
So if we can vote on that.
Sure.
No, that's fine. I understand the question. So no other questions on the amended motion, councillors? I'm happy to put the motion as it sits. So all those in favour of the amended motion, please say aye and raise your hands. Okay, thank you. Against? Carried. Thank you. Now, back to the motion. I think Councillor Cameron moved, Councillor Sheriff seconded it. Right. Councillor Cameron, have you had a conversation on this yet? You haven't, I don't think.
No, look, I spoke on the amendment and I'm happy to leave it at that.
Okay, Councillor Sheriff, as the seconder of the motion.
No, I'm happy with the amendment. Sounds good to me.
Yeah. I know, we're not on the amendment now, we're on the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, I'll just open it to discussion, thanks.
Okay, thank you. Open for discussion, councillors. Now, sorry, Deb, to cut you off there before, but you asked a question which you expect the GM to answer.
That's right.
I think I remember it. Through you, Mr. Mayor. The ultimate running of the meeting is a matter for councillors to determine. We've done some preliminary work, and some of the features of that from a legislative point of view, we do, as I mentioned before, have to receive written public submissions, and we have to deal with those at the meeting and present a summary of those. So an element of the meeting must address those written submissions. It makes sense, given that it is in fact a Tasmanian government proposal, to invite the Tasmanian government to be present at the meeting and perhaps present some factual positions in relation to the prison. I suspect we will provide a factual summary of circumstances, because I suspect not everyone who signed the petition and not everyone who may attend the meeting has the necessary background. So that will ensure, I suppose, some of that time that may otherwise be taken up in the meeting
with questions about facts and history can be sort of short-circuited so that we maximise the time for discussion. So then what we've thought about is two mechanisms. One is, well, three things. First of all, we need to clarify the role and function of councillors. It is not a public meeting without peril in terms of councillors' ability to state a position to the community without jeopardising their the hat that they wear and the independence they must maintain in terms of acting as a planning authority. So it's important that we articulate to the community that councillors do wear two hats, and that whilst the councillors may be present, they may have a limited input in terms of whether or not they're for or against the prison, but they may want to talk about other matters that are raised through the questions. So in short, what I want to do is to present to the community the role and function of council as any scheme amendment or planning development application comes forward, to make that very clear what is council's role, because I'll underline it is not a council project. Council is determining the matter as a planning authority. And what also needs to be clear in that process is that if in a scenario where all the councillors are in some shape or form eliminated because of a bias or concern about their function as a planning authority through expression of a position, then you may be in a scenario where deemed approval or going straight through to the planning tribunal will result in essence. If we do not protect the councillors through the process of the meeting, then their ability to represent the views of the community in the decision may be removed from us. So it's important that the community understands some of that background and rules. To make sure that we learn from the 2019 meeting, we're also proposing that we have two mechanisms to present questions. One is obviously from the floor. The other one will be an ability for people as they arrive to write a question on a card, and that the facilitator will ask those questions of the relevant people at the meeting. That allows people that may otherwise want to ask a question but for various reasons not be inclined to do so to have a voice in the meeting. So we're working through all of those options, including finding an independent and external facilitator to council. Over the next week or so, I think we'll take all of that will take a firmed up position, and we'll come back to the councillors for a decision on and direction on that.
So, yeah. Yeah, and can I ask you a question as to what's our largest facility in the Meander Valley for a large public gathering with COVID restrictions?
Yeah, I think the largest facility available would be the casino. We do favour the sporting complex here at Westbury. It's not going to be the greatest venue in terms of acoustics, and it'll be I suspect cold. The auditorium at Deloraine, in terms of the performing arts complex, is another option for us. And also the basketball facilities at Alveston Drive at Deloraine are another large facility. It's a balance between how many we expect at the venue, and at the moment we're leaning towards the Westbury Sporting Complex.
Okay, thank you. Councillors, any other questions? Councillor Temple.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Will the meeting be open to all comers on the day, or will people have to pre-book a seat?
The meeting will need to be conducted under the prevailing health instructions for COVID at the time. And I'm not sure what the venue at Westbury can accommodate. I think it's 200 and something. Don't quote me on it. I don't have it in my head. But the number of attendees will be limited by the social distancing requirements of the particular venue. People will need to, as they are required to in attendance today, enter their details through the Tasmanian Government's application, through the QR code,
and all of those things. Ultimately, it depends on how much interest is in the community. If we've got capacity for 200 and 400 show up, then we can only let 200 in under the COVID regulations at the moment.
Thanks, Jim.
Question?
Yes. Deputy?
Question to Councillor White. Look, I totally agree with Councillor White in the fact that we are going to be asked broad, very broad questions that we have got not one ounce of iota of being able to answer. I don't know how we cover off on that in a meeting. I guess it comes down to having a very good chair, because there's questions that we will not be able to answer. So at least Councillor White has put us in the loop as what we are to be expecting, the types of questions.
Thanks, Councillor Kelly. Councillor White, I think I saw your hand up there a little while ago.
That's right. Yes, further to my question to the General Manager about the structure of the evening. I'm just thinking this tends to be sort of like a make or break type of event, and we want to make sure that it meets, you know, everyone's, well, as far as possible, fulfills the function that we want it to. So, would there be any provision for the interested groups of all kinds to have to work with whoever's constructing that agenda to have, at least, you know, at least to have some input prior to the night itself, just to make sure that everyone's satisfied with the process?
There's always scope for it, Councillor. We've already extended that invitation to Anne-Marie, and you've heard some alluding to that invitation in terms of the recording of the meeting. That option remains open. We're certainly interested in input and ideas on how that meeting ought to be conducted. Anne-Marie and RAP have already provided their view that it should be a meeting on a Sunday morning and go for a number of hours and a few other things. Practically, we're not in a position that would not be represent the best value in terms of the cost of that meeting to council. But the offer is always there. Any member that signs the petition wants to put their two bobs worth in terms of how that meeting ought to be run, then that would be welcomed. We've met with the Cropes group, representatives from Cropes, and they've given their initial indications and thoughts. We've invited them also to consider a presentation and other options and a written submission. So it remains to be seen. Those groups have been extended an invitation. Whether or not they wish to participate in that remains to be seen. But ultimately, it's a meeting conducted by council as a public authority. We assume in these times of COVID and more generally responsibilities and duties of care that we have to ensure are met. And so the decision making on the final version of it, I'd suggest, comes back to you guys as councillors.
Councillor White, yes.
Yes. Has it been expressed as to the purpose of the meeting? So is it just information gathering, or is there something specific that we're all aiming for?
I've asked that question of Emery Loader, and I haven't got a clear answer, but I think if you aggregate the comments across some of the emails that I've received, people want to understand and hold to account Council's decision to put forward Meander Valley. That's an historic thing, and to the previous comments by some councillors, that was under the previous General Manager and previous Council, and our accountability and our ability to comment on that is limited. So there's an aspect of holding the Council to account is one theme that I would suspect is there. The other one, I think, is then turns to the question of the current site and the range of issues that people have expressed as concerns, be they environmental, be they impacts on neighbouring properties, etc., etc. The challenge for council is that many of those things are not spaces that we are able to answer. The state government is, as I mentioned before, in response to Councillor Temple's question. The state government is still undertaking its due diligence. We haven't been briefed any more than when the state government reached out in response to the petition. We know as much as the community. That's...
Thanks, Jim. Councillors, any other? Councillor Temple?
Mr. Mayor, I'd be most disappointed if people were turned away on the day due to the size of the venue.
I agree, Councillor Temple, but we're under COVID restrictions, so I guess it'd be good to have an indication of how many people may turn up, and if the facility at Westbury is not big enough, then we go to our biggest facility, which is either Deloraine or Casino. So... Sorry. Any other questions, Councillor Temple?
Well, just to, you know, I think we need to take the largest venue that we have available, because it would be, as I said previously, I'd be most disappointed if people were turning away. But, you know, could there be an outside, you know, if with our largest premises or venue, could there be, something outside so people would hear what was going on inside? We found ourselves with more people than we thought.
I guess that's a scope of work that the GM will have to do in the next... Well, we haven't even voted on it, yes, really, have we, that we're still talking about at the moment. So when the motion is voted on or whatever, we'll go from there and sort it out.
John. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I did... Hang on, I got missing off, silent.
Yeah, we have.
I did wonder, like, when you look at the volume of signatures, and I don't know how many people are going to participate, but I'm not sure about the velodrome. That's just something popped into my head. I know it's just outside, but anyway.
I'm sure Launceston would love to have us in their municipality, Mick. Okay. Any other discussions, councillors? I'm just waiting for my screen to come back up again. Sorry about that. My screen takes a while to come up. From the Deputy Mayor. Councillor White, one more.
Yes, okay. Just further to my previous question, I'm still not clear on what the stated aim is for all the parties concerned, and I'm wondering if you, the General Manager could obtain from the groups that he's consulting with that we could get a written statement of their view of the aims of the meeting so that we could just like to see that expressed more clearly.
Yes, can do that.
Yep. Okay. All right, councillors, any other discussion? If not, I'll go back to Councillor Sheriff as the seconder of the motion.
No, I've got nothing further to add, thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Cameron, as the mover of the motion.
Nothing further to add, thank you.
Right, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please raise your hand and say aye. Thank you. All those against? Thank you. Motion is passed. Thank you. Moving on. Annual Plan, Governance 3. Members of the gallery, you can leave if you so wish.
We've got Governance 2, sorry.
Page 200. Governance 2. Okay, thank you for that. I was trying to rush it along. I wasn't. Governance 2.
Can we pause for a second?
You can, Councillor. 2 minute break. Leaving.
Thank you.
Do you want a break, councillors, or what?
I think so.
Righto. Have a break, people. We should knock the rest of it over pretty quick, but thanks for that.
don't want to be on a witch hunt. Yes, well, we started thinking about it. All right, they're all back. We've got to start with. Right. Are we back? Are we ready?
Just waiting on Councillor King.
We're right.
Just waiting on Councillor King. She'll be a minute.
Righto. Bring yourself to order, people. Let's go. Governance 2. Governance 2. Oh. They moved.
Councillor, oh, Tanya's Campbell. Just... Yeah, okay. Cool.
All right, Councillor Temple's move. Seconder, please.
Can I?
You can do what you like.
Thank you.
Councillor Temple has the move of the motion. Thank you. Councillor Cameron.
I say it every time, but it's an absolute delight to be on this committee, and it's just a great example of how a small amount of money in one way can achieve great things for some of these community groups. I do want to thank Nate. I don't know if I ever thank you properly, but you actually put in heaps and heaps and heaps and heaps of work in the background. So I do really appreciate it. And I am happy to support it.
Thanks, Councillor Cameron. That was very nice. I've got to say that I totally agree with your sentiments. I think it is really good that we can look at community groups putting in, or not just community groups, but groups putting in, wanting some dollars which we can support and see the results, and I back up your comments about Nate. I get good comments everywhere I go with the work he's doing, so well done. Thanks, Nate. Councillors, any other comments? Questions? Take that as a no. We're moving on. Nothing to add? Nothing to add. Councillor Cameron as the seconder. Ooh, Councillor Temple as the mover. Right, oh. Put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hands. All those against? Thank you. Carried. That was easy, Nate. Governance 3, people. Annual plan. Quarter review, got the review. Somebody like to move? Somebody like to second? Okay. And I can't see Councillor Sheriff. Do I pick him as well or not? Oh, no.
It was Kelly and Cameron.
Oh, was it? Oh, I couldn't see Kelly. Kelly and Cameron. Councillor Kelly as the mover of the motion. Any comment?
No comment.
Thank you. Councillor Cameron, seconder.
Nothing to really comment on other than just to thank Jackie for her work that she puts into producing this.
Thanks, councillors. Open up for discussion to councillors. Any comments, discussion, councillors? Take that as no. I guess just looking at the first one, NRM strategy. We've got to meet with the NRM North General Manager, don't we, sometime in July to see what services they may be able to provide to Meander Valley Council.
And he's going, what?
Okay. Yes, yes, Mr. Mayor.
All right, anything else, councillors? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hands.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Rodney, what did you do? Right. Motion's passed and carried. Thank you. Okay. Governance 4.
Move.
Okay. Tanya's out.
Move.
Move by Councillor Kelly. Second up. Oh. No, I just couldn't see you. Councillor Kelly is the mover. Any comments, questions?
Yeah, look, it's great to see some of these facilities getting used. It's been hanging over our heads for years and years what to do with this area, and it's good to see something starting to happen.
Thanks, Councillor Kelly. Councillor Cameron?
Yeah, I think it'll be it's a delight, actually, to see these things be repurposed and reused to some members of the community that could really look after them. So I'm very happy to support it.
Thanks, Councillor Cameron. Councillor Laws, any discussion? Councillor Sinfield?
Yeah, totally frivolous comment, but sometimes when you go to auctions, they'll flog, you know, three things. One's useful, a nice wrench and a couple of pieces of rubbish to go with it. But is there any possibility when we do this, we could include make it a box set and send off one of the, the jumps at the same time? One of the steeples. That seemed like a good deal to handle that, especially the ones that are made out of gorse.
Yeah, I guess you're referring to a couple of truckloads of asbestos, Councillor Sinfield.
No, I wasn't going there.
Right, don't go there. For my comment, it's good to see that the Pony Club have, taken this on. It's also good that we went back to the Turf Club and asked their opinion of it. We got their approval, which was really good. So everyone should be happy. So, any other comments, councillors? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Good. Against? Carried. Thank you. Okay. Before I close out of normal meeting, I meant to do it at the start of the meeting, I should thank former Councillor Susie Bauer for her time and effort representing Meander Valley Council. I would like that noted in the minutes, Marilyn, please. So, thank you. Councillor White?
Just a point of procedure. When the minutes were received, I didn't vote at all because I wasn't here, but I don't know how I was recorded. I'd better be recorded as an abstain.
Right. Just waiting for the gallery to...
You're right to okay. Move a motion into closed.
Yep. Somebody like to move, somebody like second, that we close the meeting to the public. Councillor Cameron. Just got to get a bit further around, Councillor Cameron. Councillor Sheriff, thank you. I don't think we need any discussion. All those in favour, please say aye. Against? Carried.